brought to you almost live from the Dude in the Basement Studios. Why? Because that's where the good stuff is. It sips, suds, and smokes with your smoking host, the good old boys. It's sippin' time.
Hey, yes, it's sippin' time again. Hello and welcome to this Sips episode where everything good in life is worth discussing. As always, we are the best thing on at 2 a.m.
That remains to be seen.
Well, I don't know what
now
else.
Now they moved Hee Haw, we might be.
Oh, no. You can't compete with Hee Haw. I mean,
I know. Like they moved it.
Yeah,
so
you can't.
We're number one in the slot now.
Oh, they moved it out. Oh,
yeah.
Okay. Yeah, then we're okay. Thank God. You know.
Few.
I mean, really? The Hee Haw Honeys?
Yeah.
No, you can't compete with that.
Exactly.
Kenny Rogers' wife? I mean, come on, man. Elvis's girlfriend was a Hee Haw Honey.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. Well.
Not a few.
Aren't they all Elvis's girlfriend?
Exactly.
True.
Well, this is Made Man Bob, and joining me today are good old gal Denise.
Good morning, gentlemen.
And Made Man Maury.
Good morning, Bob. Excited for a morning of grape juice in the basement.
And good old boy Justin.
Good morning. Always good to be here, out of the light, in the basement.
The basement is kind of your favorite place, isn't it?
It is.
Yeah.
It's
dark. It's damp.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're like Renfield. Just keep you in the corner and feed you spiders.
Yes, exactly.
Well, our sip segments are all about wine, distilled spirits, tea, coffee, anything else that you can sip. And today is a wine episode, so here's the wines we're going to discuss today. So from Cormorant Cellars, we have the Cormorant Cellars Sauvignon Blanc 2021, the Cormorant Cellars Grenache Blanc Marseille Blend 2021, the Cormorant Cellars Chardonnay 2021, and the Cormorant Cellars Red Blend 2021. And then from Tinsley Vineyards, we have the Tinsley Fundamental Cabernet Sauvignon 2021, the Tinsley Syrah Turner Vineyard 2022, the Tinsley Syrah Tinsley Vineyard 2022, and the Tinsley Syrah Colson Canyon Vineyard 2022. That's a lot of wine.
Mm-hmm. Sure is.
Yeah. I think we're up to it, though. So, well.
We're seasoned professionals.
We're going to try.
We got Don't this. Try this at home.
We're going to be tasting and rating these wines. I'm rating them along with these sips sounds, and we're going to have Justin tell us all about those.
All right. These wines are going to go ahead and make my day. One sip. Ugh. Give me a glass of water. Wash out my mouth.
Ganga Din, water.
Ganga Din, drink water. Drink water.
Two sips. Nice. Like a 44 Magnum. But what else do you have?
Well, isn't that nice?
Three sips. Interesting. What was this again?
Interesting.
Four sips. Let's keep this secret to ourselves. Pour me another.
That was almost like a William Shatner pause there for a second.
Five sips. Oh my. I was unaware anything could be this good.
Oh my goodness.
Yes. See what you've been missing?
That was the good, the bad, and the ugly.
It was mostly ugly. Yeah. It's Clint Eastwood spinning in his grave. The man's not even dead yet. Oh, Lord. Just, yeah. Right? Okay. Well, let's move on and see if we can possibly
thank the Lord
salvage this mess. And we're going to have Denise tell us about our first winery and hopefully get that memory in the past.
Okay. Here we go. Well, over the two decades that Charlie Gilmore has been winemaking, he has had one guiding principle, that simplicity makes the best wines. He put that philosophy to the test when he founded Cormorant Cellars in 2018, creating a small collection of wines that are unfined, unfiltered, and made in an old world style from certified organic grapes grown in Sonoma, Monterey, and the Santa Cruz Mountains. Cormorant wines are 100% vineyard sourced and grown without synthetic pesticides or synthetic fertilizers. Charlie is hands-on in the winery, but designs his winemaking to stay out of the way of the wine using only ambient yeast from the vineyard, an absolute minimum of sulfites, minimal manipulation by pumps or machinery, and no freezing. When it comes to naming his solo winemaking project, Charlie thought back to his childhood family trips to Monterey, where he and his dad spent hours watching and photographing the coast's iconic freewheeling cormorants.
I've got a question for
everyone. We got plenty of those in Florida.
We sure do. I was watching one this morning.
It's a bird. I knew that was coming. It's an amazing bird that likes to perch on the edge of the lakes and waters with its wings outstretched, kind of like
drying them out, because the bird swims underwater. All you see is the head and the neck.
Underwater.
So I think the Seminole name for him is anhinga, but it's
no. An anhinga is a different bird.
You sure? Altogether.
Yes. Mm-hmm. There's an anhinga and a cormorant. They're two different birds.
I thought that was the name that they called that one.
No, they're different. Mm. One actually has white. Mm. Is it the anhinga? I think on its wings. But yeah, I was watching a cormorant this morning. Interesting.
Mm. Thank you.
Yeah
they're very cool.
Yeah.
They love to dry their wings outstretched in the sun, and you'll see them sitting there with their wings outstretched.
Yep.
Yeah.
Crazy,
because if they don't, they can't get up, because when they come out of the water, they're all wet and they're too heavy and they can't fly.
Yeah, they're a bird that hunts under the water.
Yeah,
that's cool,
for their fish and their food. It's amazing.
So you see the birds come up with the fish in their mouth. It's often them.
Yeah.
Okay,
so here we are with Cormorant Cellars, and the first wine is going to be the Cormorant Cellar Sauvignon Blanc 2021. Comes in with an ABV at 12.95%. That's an interesting number.
13's too much.
Yep. It's 100% Sauvignon Blanc, 100% Dry Creek Valley, fermented and aged in a mix of stainless steel and neutral French oak barrels. After the native fermentation, the lees were stirred to build, to build mouthfeel? Yeah, that makes sense to me, right?
Yep.
Yeah, it's all about the mouthfeel. Anyway, so let's look at the color. Very pretty, very pale, straw, clear, light yellow. So many different ways to describe it, but I think very typical Sauvignon Blanc. On the nose, I actually did get this hybrid stainless steel oaky nose, and it was kind of bright with some lemons. At least for me, the palate I thought was really interesting because it was tart. So I first got the lemons very on tart. The nose, and then I got these very tart lemons on the palate. And I've got, I believe for me, even more oak on the palate. And I actually like oaked wines, so I thought this was really pleasant. It has a very decent finish, and I really enjoyed this wine. How about you?
I like the mouthfeel. It kind of reminded me of the first bite of cream of wheat in the morning.
First bite of cream of wheat.
Yeah.
Not the second.
No, okay. First bite.
We just want to get that
perfect. Because then the butter hits and it's a whole different mouthfeel after that.
True.
Yeah. I got like pears, unripe apples, and seaweed on the nose, on the palate, like green melon, apricot. The finish was pleasant. It was like light French oak. It's like they gave instructions to the winemaker, do not make cougar juice, and they did not.
Mm. Yeah.
I think that was the instructions.
I like that description. Well, I thought Denise nailed it. I agree that it's very citrusy, both on the nose and on the palate. I found it to be a bit tart, crisp, and a little bit of green apple. For me, it was a little bit spritzy on the palate on the initial taste, and then that blew off. With time in the glass, I found the finish to be pleasant, relatively short to medium. It's a really nice well-made Sauvignon Blanc. And I agree with you, Denise. The oak was just subtle. It had little appearances there, like a little cameo role, particularly on the finish. While being short, if you really look hard, you can find a little hint of oak. So while it was mostly a bright stainless steel type finished wine, you do get those little hints of oak surprise here and there. So very nicely made wine. Bob, what do you think?
Yeah, I got to lean with what Justin said. They didn't make cougar juice. It's not overly oaked, which unfortunately I understand. Whatever the style is that sells, you go with. But, you know, oak should be a one color in the palette. It's not all the palette.
It's rare to find an overly oaked Sauve Blanc. Chardonnay, different story.
But in Sauve, they're
typically stainless steel.
You get bright. A few that just, you know, like where are you going with this? I mean, it's just, you know, there's just that slight bit of woodiness to it. When we first tasted it, it was like in my face, lime. And he's right on the saltiness on that seaweed. I get that saltiness too. It made me think of margaritas. I mean, like, I'm getting lime. I'm getting like a saline, a saltiness, like a minerality from the soil. And I got on the nose, I still get some white flowers. You know, just a little bit of white flower on it. And on the palate, it's tart yet sweet. It's got a nice crisp edge to it. It's got a nice clean finish to it. It's not cloying. It's not sticky. It's not, you know, doing any of the wrong things. I think it was very well made. I really enjoyed it. So, I think for the first one out of the box we've had from Cormorant, you know, pretty good. So we are going to be giving the Cormorant Cellars, Sauvignon Blanc 2021, a well-deserved 3 sips.
Interesting.
Very nice.
And I looked it up. In China, they train cormorants to fish.
Cool.
They go down, they catch the fish, it jumps back up on the boat, and then basically coughs the fish back up. Figure that one out.
Wow.
Yeah. We'll be back.
Rolling clouds and crashing surf, iridescent dunes reflecting by the light of a rising glowing moon. Seashore mesmerizing, night breeze hypnotizing, we've come across these back roads none too soon. Look to the left, to the right, keep your eyes on the road, my darling, wondering if we're only passing through. Open roads and open windows, my hand is yours forever, sweet love.
Hey, and we're back, and we just finished talking about the lovely Sauvignon Blanc from the folks at Cormorant Cellars. Well-deserved 3 sips on that one. Lovely wine. So we're going to be going on to our next wine from them, and we're going to have Maury tell us about that one.
Thank you, Bob. The next wine will be the Cormorant Cellars Grenache Blanc Marsenne 2021. It's 12.9% ABV. It is 64% Grenache Blanc and 36% Marsanne. Fermented and aged primarily in neutral French oak barrels with ambient yeast from the vineyard, Preston Vineyard is deep in Dry Creek Valley. Marsanne has a history of no acid, and Grenache Blanc grown in Dry Creek can have high acid until sugar starts climbing in the fruit, so it was necessary to time the Grenache Blanc pick. This wine, again, has a very pale, light straw color. On the nose, papaya, candied green apple, a bit of lime, and definitely some floral notes. I found this to be really creamy on the palate. I had to look twice. I'm not sure I've ever had a Grenache Blanc before. This was a really, really fun and interesting wine. I found it to be lush, creamy, mouth-coating. Reminded me a bit of a big Chardonnay, but yet completely different. The finish was medium, I just found it to be a really unique wine, one like I haven't had before. Pleasant, creamy, and very enjoyable. Well, what'd you think, Denise?
The complete opposite of you. So I enjoyed this wine. It is not my favorite of the day, but that's okay. You know, different strokes for different folks. I did get the floral aromas on the nose, and those were really pleasant. So when I went into it, I was hopeful. It's not an unpleasant wine for me, but it's, I don't get that creamy mouthfeel that you get. In fact, for me, it's a little thin, even a little one note. I may have actually described it as a little bland for me. And I thought that the finish was actually a little bit short. So although it's not off-putting or unpleasant, it's just not everything that I had hoped for.
I wonder if you missed it. How long did you wait to try it in the glass? Because I think it's fallen a little flat since it sat in my glass. When I first poured it, it was completely different than it is now, and it's fallen off a little bit.
Well, those are actually my notes from when I first poured it, and I was hopeful that when I came back to it, it would open up a little bit or be a little creamier, but it's pretty much stayed the same for me in the glass. Hmm. How about you, Justin?
So I get the color.
Did you get the creamy mouthfeel too?
No, it was kind of an acidic punch for me off the bat, bold. And then it was like flat Sprite with some tropical fruits at the end. And the color had like, it was clear. It had like a little bit of bubbles in it.
Yes, it did. Right?
Which was
like a little champagne-y almost.
Yeah. There was a slight effervescence out of the bottle. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And that faded off over time. So now I have to really look for the bubbles. They're still there, but they're kind of hiding now. Mm-hmm. And then the finish was pleasant, but flat. But not bad.
Yeah, no, not unpleasant.
Well, I'm with Maury. I kind of enjoyed this one. I got a lot of tropical fruit on it, on the nose.
Very polarizing wine.
I get
that's a good thing.
Yeah, it is.
I get a Granny Smith apple. I don't really get the lime in this one. It's more like a tart apple. I get some flowers, maybe like violets. And then on the palate, I think the acidity comes through very nicely. I think the two low acid, high acid wines played off well with each other. It's very crisp. I get apples. I get pears. Yeah, I mean, a very nice little refreshing little wine. I kind of enjoyed this one. And I'm with Maury on the fact that, like, how many Grenache Blancs have you had?
Right.
So that just makes it interesting anyway.
Exactly.
You know, much less, you know, the blend that you have going on here. I don't know. You know, I'm sure there's somebody doing it somewhere, but I haven't really had any. So, I found it interesting. So we're going to be rating the Cormorant Cellars Grenache Blanc Marsanne 2021. Three sips.
Interesting.
Yeah, that effervescence, I saw it as soon as I poured it in the glass. Mm-hmm. I'm like, and I kind of dig when you get that in a wine. You know,
it's fun.
It's just interesting. So, all right. So we're going to go to our Chardonnay next, I believe. We're going to have Justin tell us about our next wine.
So this is Cormorant Cellars Chardonnay 2021, or 13.4% alcohol by volume. It's 100% Chardonnay. It's from Monterey County, 100% from the Zabala Vineyard. This Chardonnay grows just next to the Arroyo Seco riverbed, with river rocks and sand being the primary terrain. The color on this was a cloudy light yellow, and I have effervescence in this expression as well. The nose, like very floral with like tropical fruits, melons. The palate was complex. You can really tell these vines struggled and produced a pretty interesting wine. And the finish was like light, slightly buttery. I really like this. What did you think, Maury?
You know, I agree with you, Justin. I thought it was a delicious wine. I think it's an easy drinker. It's a beautiful Chardonnay. It's an somewhat entry level, but I thought it was extremely pleasant. I think it had all the features you mentioned. It was not overly oaked. It was not overly buttery. It had a couple of those features, which I enjoyed in my Chardonnay. It had a nice creamy mouthfeel. I really enjoyed this wine quite a bit, and thought, you know, I think for the money, I think it's an excellent wine. I think it's very enjoyable. And yeah, I liked it a lot. Denise, what'd you think?
I agree with both of you, actually. I love the nose. I thought that the citrus and the floral aromas really came through nicely. I like on the palate that it's crisp. It's a little tart. But to be honest, a little bit toward the back, toward the finish for me, it's a little metallic. And that was early on, and I decided to revisit it, and I still get the same little hint of metallic.
May have had some stainless steel fermentation in there
at the end for me.
I didn't really get that as much, nor did I get
noticeable
the tart and Christmas that you talk about. For me, the creaminess kind of really balanced out a lot of the tartness compared to the first two wines. I found this to be much less tart.
And I thought the finish was longer than expected, and that was really nice and pleasant as well. So anybody
else?
Yeah,
it was pretty long. I agree. It was pretty long.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, again, I think they're, what they're doing here, they're doing a good job. And I think it's commendable that they're doing everything organic, and they're basically leaving the wine alone and letting it work on its own. So I find that extremely interesting. I mean, for me, it's got a very pretty nose, and again, not, you know, overly oaked, overly butterly, you know, not cougar juice. It's got a very interesting nose. There's like green melon, a lot of flowers. And on the palate, I get that melon up front and a little bit of tropical fruit. You know, there's a nice edge to it. The acidity comes through very well. I do that back edge.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if it's, for me, it's more like graphite than metal, than metallic. I'm not sure which. But I think I get what you're saying. But all in all, a very pretty little wine. Yeah.
It's definitely at the very end for me.
Mm-hmm. After you swallow the very back palate. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I see what you're saying on it. Is that off-putting to me? No. I'm fine with it. Everything else is really good up front. Mm-hmm. So, you know, that's just the style. So, you know, well done. So we're going to be rating the Cormorant Cellar Chardonnay 2021. A well-deserved three sips.
Interesting.
So that brings us up to our last wine from the folks at Cormorant. So this is the Cormorant Cellars Red Blend, 13.47% ABV. It's 72% Merlot, 24% Cabernet Sauvignon, 4% Petit Verdot, 100% Black Ridge Vineyards from the Santa Cruz Mountains. This cool climate vineyard is dry farmed. Again, just letting nature do it, which is cool. Fermentation occurred in small containers ranging from 1-ton beds to a 5-ton tank. The varietals were kept separate for 10 months in neutral barrels before blending. So,
does dry farm mean no irrigation?
Yeah.
Okay.
Which, you know, if the climate allows, you know,
yeah, it's cool.
Yeah, it gives you some character because they got to struggle. It's got a lovely purplish garnet edge to it. Got nice clarity. On the nose, it's got a almost like a dried flowers. Like a dried flowers and a dried fruit aroma. A little bit of sweetness at the tip of the nose and on the palate. On the palate, there's a nice earthiness to this at the front palate for me. The sweetness comes through kind of center palate, but there's a nice base to it. The tannin is there, but it's not overpowering. Got a pretty good finish to it. Got a nice mouth coat. just slight bit of tartness to it. But yeah, overall, pretty nice. What'd you think, Denise?
I actually really like this. I really like the nose. So
the nose is
at first, right out of the bottle, it was like a big bowl of cherries.
Big nose. Yeah. Big,
and then it turned into like a baked cherry pie.
Yeah.
And then it has, you know, some of these other like tart, citrusy notes. So I found it really, really interesting. And it's funny that you described it as earthy at first, because I think if damp and musty could be a good thing.
Yeah.
That's exactly how I would describe this. Very pleasant, very nice, but, you know, very earthy, damp, musty.
You hit it. But that's the tart that I'm getting. Mm-hmm. That's what it is. It's like slightly underripe cherries for me.
Yeah. So I really enjoyed it. I thought the finish was great. It has a nice mouthfeel. It's definitely fuller bodied than I had, you know, expected. And that's a nice pleasant surprise.
Since we poured it, I think it's opened up even more for
me. Agreed.
I definitely think it's better than when I first tasted it. Mm-hmm. So.
Yeah, no, I enjoy it. Maury, you're staring at me. Do you concur or not at all?
I was a little underwhelmed when we first poured it. I actually found it to be fairly closed and pedestrian when we first poured it. But then I agree with you initially, the nose, I just wrote berries and fruit. It was just an explosion and a bouquet. I believe on the palate, though, a lot of fruit, a lot of fresh. It was very pleasant. I found the finish to be short. It definitely improved in the glass. And I agree with you. It's got some interesting nuances that make it a fun. I find it just a fun, easily approachable, all day sipper, very nice, you know. I hate to use the word entry level, but I just think it's a very pleasant wine. It's not necessarily my go-to flavor profile for a big steak, but or a big food wine. But for an afternoon of drinking and enjoying and relaxing, it's well made. I think it's really pleasant. It's really enjoyable. There's no flaws. It's just a nice wine.
Good with the charcuterie board.
Yeah, there you go.
Justin? Yeah, that would be nice.
So the nose of this wine really reminded me of like a northern Ethiopian coffee, like citric notes, a little bit of orange juice, pasteurized, nice ripe fruit. The palate was big and bold, but the finish was refined at the end. So
I thought it was short. I thought it was kind of just abrupt.
It was short, but it was refined.
Mm-hmm.
You know, balance
for me.
Short and balanced. Just for you, short. Yeah. But for me, it was short and balanced. I liked it.
Yeah.
Yeah. I agree with Maury. I'm not going to lay this down for a decade. Mm-hmm. And, you know, but I think this is not so much I'm looking for a big steak with it. This is just I'm sitting around the house and watching a game, and I want a really good red wine. This is perfectly
fine right here. Yeah, right. A charcuterie board would go well with it. Yeah. Some snacks, almonds and nuts and
some almonds, some walnuts, cheese. A little bit of cheese,
fried chicken.
Okay.
Well, fried chicken goes with Kool-Aid for crying out loud. Fried chicken goes with everything. So it's the universal food. This and Popeyes,
it's a good day.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, yeah, really nice. I mean, really, really nice. I'm impressed with what they're doing at Cormorant. I mean, especially since they're going organic and, you know, let nature take its course. So that's again, very interesting. So we're going to be giving the Cormorant Cellars Red Blend 2021 a well-deserved three sips.
Interesting.
So that takes us to our next winery, and we're going to have Maury tell us about that in the little bit of time we got left.
All right, Bob, thanks. We'll get started, see how we do. In 1993, Joey Tensley got his start in the wine business working as a cellar rat for Fess Parker's Winery in Santa Barbara County. After only 3 years, he became the assistant winemaker at Babcock Vineyards. While there, Joey came to appreciate the importance of the vineyard and the grower. He also came to appreciate the uniqueness of Santa Barbara County as a growing region. In 1998, Joey moved on to become assistant winemaker at Beckman Vineyards, where he was offered space to make his own label. At Beckman, he developed his love for Rhone varietals and decided Tensley Wines would produce only Rhone varietals and only source from Santa Barbara County. Today, Tinsley Syrahs have made the Wine Spectator's top 100, scored 99 points with Robert Parker, and won Food and Wine Magazine's award for the top Syrah in America over $20. Some impressive accolades.
All I can say is thank you for somebody in California actually bottling Syrah.
Yes.
Everybody blends it out into something else. Nobody gives it what it's really due.
In tough seasons, you notice they're coming out with a lot more varietals on their own to make up for the lack of volume of cab.
Well,
so it's kind of fun in the off years.
It's like Cab Franc.
Yeah.
When we were out in Napa a few weeks ago, it's like, you know, you have a Cab Franc. You saw how excited I got? Oh,
yeah.
Please pull it out. Pull it out. I want to try some of the different ones. I don't want the, you know, everyday single, you know, this is what everybody does. Do something different.
Yeah.
Differentiate yourself. And Syrah is definitely a grape that I think is not looked at as much as it should be here in the U.S.
Well, in other parts of the world, it's much more prominent.
Absolutely. And that's that's the funny thing is here, it's thought as blending fodder. It's not, you know, doesn't get the respect it should.
So we're mostly going to be talking about Syrahs. However, the first wine is Cabernet Sauvignon.
Yep.
And as you'll see, the next few wines will all be Syrahs. So the first wine is the Tinsley Fundamental Cabernet Sauvignon 2021. In 2017, Joey launched Fundamental Wines by Joey Tinsley. The name was chosen because he felt it perfectly reflected the brand's philosophy to make fundamentally sound, straightforward wines that over-deliver for the price on every level. Sourced from multiple vineyards throughout the Central Coast. The color of this wine is a beautiful, deep red. On the palate, on the nose, we've got lots of fresh fruit, lots of berries, lots of leather, and we will taste it. On the palate, beautiful. It's got leather, it's got graphite, it's got fruit, it's got tannin, it's got structure, it's mouth coating, and then the finish just seems to go on and on. And we'll be back.
It's not just the destination, but baby, the whole elation riding down this lover's avenue. As slow as a willow blows, or as fast as the whirlwind grows, we glide beneath the stars in cobalt blue. Look to the left, to the right, keep your eyes on the road, my darling, wondering if we're only passing through. Open roads and open windows, my hand is yours forever, sweet love. Our eyes ahead on these back roads with a view.
Hey, and we're back, and Maury was finishing up his thoughts on the Tinsley Fundamental Cabernet Sauvignon 2021.
Thank you, Bob. Again, beautiful wine, a little different from the style of the other things we've had today. I thought it was lovely. I think it would go nice with, again, a charcuterie board or some steaks. I really enjoyed it quite a bit. Denise, what'd you think?
This wine is really interesting. When I originally poured it in the glass, and the nose for me was salty, like the sea. Like, where is that coming from? And thinking, wow, that's really interesting. I definitely didn't expect that. It was a little earthy. It was a little metallic. And then I tried it, and I still really had this salty, mineral, and fruity palate. I was just so confused, but pleasantly surprised at the same time. And then I let it sit in the glass. And now that we've come back to it sometime later, it's opened up nicely. I like the tannins. It's a little more full-bodied. I think the mouthfeel has definitely improved. And it's got a really nice finish for me. So I agree with you. Honestly, I would do a skirt steak or something like that with this wine. Mm-hmm. I would move on from the charcuterie board and probably really enjoy it, especially with the salty, mineral, earthy.
Garlic sirloin.
Yes.
Yeah.
True. A lot of garlic would be good.
Yeah.
The one thing I did notice for me, though, at least right out of the bottle, and it really continued, is the nose was a little bit muted, much more than I expected. I don't know if it's my olfactory senses this morning that are still sleeping, but I just found, like, compared to everything else, I got very, very muted nose, almost non-existent.
Really?
Justin?
I got like a summer day, fresh mowed grass.
Hot, oh, you did light, mention that earlier.
Motor mm-hmm. oil, right after you turn the mower off.
Well, it's because he used to drive a line riding mower while drinking wine. So that's, you know.
Why not?
I plead the fifth.
Yeah, you should see. You know, like, you know, when you see like the football field and like all the lines are perfectly straight. Yeah, his were not. Justin's. Not. Yeah.
Yeah, my insurance company said don't comment on that. On the palate, I got huge, bold fruit, spearmint, and the finish was really hard to articulate, but it was like kind of vibrating. It would alternate between oak and bright fruit and then fade it off into oak.
Okay.
It was vibrating?
Yeah.
I am very aroused.
Okay, then. Yeah. Well, it's got a very pretty nose that...
It does.
I get a lot of berries, blackberries and cherries, like dark black cherries on the nose. And on the palate, I'm with you. I got that, I don't know if it's saltiness or if it's just that minerality.
Mm-hmm.
It's like sucking on a stone. You know, it's, you're getting that minerality out. But
like
but,
when you kiss the Blarney stone, like that.
But it's and you but like it's it. Got everything else going on as well. I mean, that's that I get up the front.
You're a brave woman. I like that.
Yeah, not with COVID going around here. Yeah, sure, that's where you caught it. The Blarney Stone.
Yeah.
Sure. Yeah. The minerality is all front, palate, teeth, tip of the tongue. But on the back, you get that ripe juiciness. You get all that fruit, all those cherries, all those berries. You know, there's a whole... There's a little bit... There's still a little bit of that graphite, that earthiness in the mid-palate, but, you know, it's so well-balanced. All I'm thinking is how much I wish I had a steak right now. Because that would... You know, a big slab of garlic sirloin right now. Yeah, I'd be a happy, happy camper.
Even a nice burger.
A nice, yeah, a really nice, big, thick burger. Mm-hmm. Maybe a little bit of blue cheese on it, you know. But, yeah, I mean, this is extremely well done. So, we're going to be giving the Tinsley Fundamental Cabernet Sauvignon a well-deserved 4 sips.
That's classified.
So that takes us on to our next wine, and we're going to have Justin tell us about that.
Okay. Our next wine is the Tinsley
Syrah, yeah.
Vineyard 2022, 14%.
That's the Turner Vineyard, right?
The Tinsley Syrah Turner Vineyard 2022?
Yeah, that's what I meant to say. Yeah.
Okay, perfect.
The vineyard is located in the Santa Rita Hills Appalachian and is known for being the coolest climate in Santa Barbara County. And the color on this one is a dark ruby red. On the nose, I got we like this hot pot restaurant. They have the spicy broth.
Oh, yeah.
Smells like that.
Oh, now you're ruining me because now I'm waiting. Now I'm wanting that and the steak. Damn it.
But, you know, before you put all the seafood and the meat in or anything, the palate, it's like very ripe fruit. I'm getting fresh baked bread and toasted oak. The finish, really nice, like very sweet fruit on the finished back palate. What did you think, Maury?
Well, actually, this was one of my favorite wines of the day. I found this wine to have a big fruity nose. I thought it was delicious on the palate. It was full-bodied. It was mouth-coating. It was fresh. There was lots of ripe fruit. I agree with you. There were some bakery notes. And then the finish for me just went on and on and on. I really love this wine. And I could eat. It's a food wine. I could definitely enjoy almost anything with it. But I really enjoyed it. I thought it was extremely well made. I thought it was bold. I thought it was full bodied, full palated. 14% ABV is not for the faint of heart. And I think it's an excellent showing. It was, as I said, my favorite. Bob, what do you think?
It's quite pungent. Oh, yeah. Ooh, it's a formidable scent. It stings the nostrils.
In spite of the fact that he can't pronounce Syrah, he hit it. I mean, he's right. It does remind me of the hot pot place we go to, that spiciness. I mean, it's got a beautiful spiciness on the nose with some pepper and just, oh. But on the palate, the fruit is all there. It's mouth coating. It gets the whole mouth, the top, the bottom, the back, under the tongue, everywhere. It's got a very great mouth feel to it. It's like chewy. You know, it's got a really good feel to it. I mean, some of the notes that I got from some people, they were saying brioche and toasted notes. I'm not picking any of that up. But just stewed, overly ripe, stewed red fruit, a beautiful mouth coat to it. Just the right level of acidity. I mean, it makes your mouth water, but it's not just overly done. It's beautiful. This one I really, really like.
Yeah, I agree. I'm glad you concurred. Denise, what'd you think?
Yeah, well, it's hard to follow all of you because just great descriptions all the way around about this wine. I looked at the notes and talked about white and black pepper, but I definitely get that on the nose and it's really nice. I mean, it just comes through so nicely for me. It was a little drier than I expected. I saw, you know, mm-hmm. It's a Syrah and you know, and the nose was great, even though it was pepper on the nose. And then on the palate, it's a little bit drier, but not unpleasantly so. I really enjoyed it. It's got a great mouthfeel. I think I would actually agree with Maury that it could be one of my favorites of the day. There is one that we have not reviewed yet that's really interesting to me, but this one is really pleasant, really nice, and would definitely go back for another glass.
Yeah, I agree with you, Denise. I mean, I like a nice Syrah. They are definitely underrated and underappreciated from the United States. There's a couple producers that I've been enjoying their Syrahs from, but this is just, you know, a level above in terms of the others. Well, I have no idea the price point, but
I got to meet Mr. Tensley at the New York Wine Experience, and the passion the guy has for Syrah was palpable when you talked to him. And I said, thank you. You're the only one here who gets it. I mean, just really, really
There's
great.
There's some nice Syrahs coming out of Paso.
Yeah.
And I have some, and I've actually recently done a tasting that I hosted of some Paso Robles Syrah-based blends, and they were,
oh, there
they
was,
were very
was there?
Well received.
I guess my invitation must have been last in the mail.
Must have been mine, too.
Okay. So
it was while you were out at Napa.
So
they didn't want to hear my Elmer's glue notes and the gems I bring to our audience.
Well, we're going
to
rate the Tensley Syrah Turner Vineyard 2022 a well-deserved 4 sips.
That's classified.
So that brings us to our next Syrah from Tensley, which is the Tensley Syrah Tensley Vineyard 2022, planted in 2011 by Oliver Tensley. The 2-acre Tensley Estate Vineyard is located in Los Ovillos and has great sun exposure and sandy soils. It's got a nice dark garnet color to it. It's got a nice rim. Very pretty. On the nose, very fruity, dark, like dark berries, dark fruit, and a little bit of just, it's blown off a bit, but it was a lot of, when we first poured it, there was a lot of black cherry in there for me. Let's see on the palate. Again, some of that dark strewed fruit, blackberries, a little bit of raspberry for me, and that cherry still leaps forward for me. Pretty little wine. What'd you think, Maury?
Yeah, this is a very nice wine. I agree with you. I found the nose to be a little more prominent when we first poured it, but it's it was muted then, and for me, it's still a little bit muted. These are this one and the Cabernet were the two that I found have a little bit muted noses. But other than that, I thought it was very nice. It was pleasant on the palate, not quite as big and bold as the previous wine that I really enjoyed, but nonetheless, very well made, very enjoyable, and a very nice illustration of what the Central Coast can do. I really enjoyed it. Denise, have you any thoughts?
Yeah, no. This is, here we go, another great wine. But now I think these last two for me are getting very interesting. I love the herbal notes on this wine, both on the nose and the palate. I'm a fan of that, so I really enjoy anything that's got, you know, herbs or flowers or without being too sweet and too fruity. This has a great mouthfeel. I get it on the sides of my tongue, which is really interesting and pleasant, and it allows it to have a longer finish than I had anticipated. Mm-hmm. So I'm really enjoying this
one. Yeah, it's got a good mouthfeel.
As we move along, it's really getting fun.
It's got a little more finesse and style. It's not. It's a little bit more feminine, delicate, and less in your face than perhaps some of the previous wines.
And it's opened up a little bit that I almost get a little bit of, really, for lack of a better description, some barbecue smoke. Just a tiny, tiny hint of it on the finish. And that's, again, they're just evolving and getting more interesting in the glass.
Well, we've got one wine left to go, so let's move on to that one. We're going to be rating the Tinsley Syrah Tinsley Vineyard, a well-deserved three sips.
Interesting.
Thank you.
Bordering on four for me, but so we're going to have Denise tell us about the last one, which
is the Tinsley Syrah Coulson Canyon Vineyard 2022.
Yep.
So the vineyards at Coulson Canyon rest at an elevation of 1,400 feet with warm, windy days and very cool nights. And as I mentioned earlier, there was the most interesting wine for me of the day is currently in this glass. And on the nose, I first thought, wait a minute, where are the herbs? Why is there so much rosemary? How amazing is this? And then I tried the wine and I wrote my notes, all caps, cloves with an exclamation point. Mm-hmm. Where did the cloves come from? And the strange part for me is cloves and grapefruit. And I thought, wow, what a combination. On the palate, there's dates, there's figs. It has a nice medium finish. I really enjoy this wine because I find it so incredibly interesting on the nose and the palate with all of the herbs and the fruits and everything. Justin?
I think this wine would pair perfectly with like a Davidoff Connecticut Grand Cru. Nice light cigar. And these flavors will cut it. So it's like you're enjoying the cigar for the first time every puff. So what'd you think, Bob?
I thought this was the wine of the day for me. Mm. I mean, it's got everything going for it. It's dark red fruit. It's got umami on the nose. Mm-hmm. There's that rosemary. There's that herbalness. I can't say enough. I wish we had some more time. We're getting to the end of the show. But this one, they hit this one out of the park. This one's excellent. What'd you think, Maury?
Well, it's interesting. I initially thought it was good and excellent, just like the rest, but it wasn't out of the park. But now that I've revisited it and even poured some fresh wine, I'd have to concur with you. It's fresh, it's bright, it's bold, it's big, it's got lots of fruit, it's mouth coating. It's definitely my style. It's definitely my wheelhouse. Mm-hmm. I've definitely revised my rating from initially thinking a 3 to concur with the rest of the group. I believe everybody's thinking 4s. I loved it. I thought it was great. I thought it illustrates his style and his attention to detail.
This is a Syrah you can enjoy with a big steak. I mean, this thing's got some body. It's got some flavor. So fantastic. So we're going to be rating the Tinsley Syrah Coulson Canyon Vineyard a well-deserved four sips.
That's classified. So
keep making them like that, Mr. Tinsley, and we will be happy to keep buying them. So, not a bad tasting.
Morning. No, not at all.
Californian wines. Oh, so good.
Yeah, good show. So, thank you, Denise, for joining us today.
Thank you. This was wonderful.
Yeah, thank you, Maury.
Another amazing day in the damp, dark, drippy basement. Thank you.
And thank you, Justin.
Thank you, Bob. Good time.
Well, that's all the time we have for today. I want to thank everybody for joining us and remind you that life is too short to drink bad wine. And fortunately, we didn't have to do that at all today. So
no.
It's a good day. Where'd I put that last Coulson Canyon?
That's, yeah, don't lose that.
That's the one that I need right now.
Mm-hmm.
We hope you enjoyed this episode. If you're listening to us online, do yourself a favor and tap.
Just tap it in.
The subscribe button.
Give it a little tappy. Tap, tap, tap-a-roo.
The easiest way to listen to our show is to ask Siri, Alexa, Google, Uncle Larry, or whoever it is that talks to you on your phone. Play podcast Sip Suds and Smokes. We love your feedback, and you can reach us at info@sipsudsandsmokes.com. Our tasting notes flow out on Twitter and Instagram with our handle @SipSudsAndSmokes, and our Facebook page is always buzzing with lots of news. You'll also be able to interact with the thousands,
millions, and millions
of other fans on those social media platforms. Do us a favor. Take the time to rate this episode if you're listening to us online. That's a big help to us, and we get to see your feedback as well. Come back, join us for another episode, and keep on sipping.
This has been a One Tan Hand production of Sip Suds and Smokes, a program devoted to the appreciation of some of the finer slices of life. From the Dude in the Basement Studios, your host, the Good Old Boys, will see you all next time.